fully known and fully loved by God. Love overcomes. That's the subject today. Love overcomes. You had a good Christmas. I hope you did. You was around family and friends and loved ones, and you felt a sense of love, I hope. If you did not, I'm sorry for you, and I apologize for whatever the situation was. But I hope that you know that you're fully known and loved by God, even if family situations weren't what they were supposed to be. Love overcomes. Love overcomes. The scripture on the screen, John 3:16, we've all got it memorized, and you probably have it memorized in different versions. Best known scripture, best known around the world is John 3:16. You say, preacher, I know that scripture. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it. Well, I understand that. You do know it. And the fact of the matter, in America, you've heard it so many times that sometimes it's just something we hear and we let it pass on. If you're 10 years old and you've got a family that's brought you to church, be thankful. And you've heard that God so loved the world. If you're 90 and you've heard it all your life, be thankful you've heard it. There's still people around the world waiting to hear it. In villages throughout the world, in third world countries, and different people groups are still waiting to hear, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So if you've heard it, if you've believed it, if you've accepted it, you're way ahead of the game. You're on the right track. You're on the right road for the new year. If you've heard it, you've accepted it, and you're going to live out this greatest scripture of all time. Love overcomes. How's the lovebirds, the Scots? They still out and about, or are they home? They flew in somewhere in the country last night. You left them in the bed at the Holiday Inn. If that ain't a fine thing. Okay. I thank you for cueing me in, Leslie. My head's so slick it just slid right over the top, didn't it? Experiencing love. Newlyweds. You know, by the way, I just want to put this out there for the record. Up at that wedding, I looked over at Judy and I said, Judy, would you marry me again? And without hesitation, now I want you to understand this, without any hesitation, she smiled real big. She said, yes. I just want y'all to know that. And I know how some of you think about that kind of thing. Didn't I do good? I did good, didn't I? Let me talk to y'all. They're not going to. Love overcomes. Janae said she was crazy for saying it. Love overcomes all sorts of things. Well, what about fear? We have fear in this life, and fear comes against us at times, and it's a powerful source. Fear keeps people from being all God wants them to be. A group of Christians gathered, a group of people who love the Lord, young folks, babies, middle-aged, older folks, we all gather together in the house of God today, and we say, for God so loved the world, we're familiar with it. I hope you don't just rush over it and not pay attention to it every day of your life. And then there's fears that we have, and fear keeps people from being all that God wants them to be. So what are you afraid of in your spiritual walk for the new year? What is it that the Holy Spirit's been saying to you in your mind, your heart, and your being, and you're reading the Word, and you're praying, and you're asking God for advice, and you're asking God for direction? What is He saying to you? what is up in the mind and the heart for 2020. Whatever he says, and you know it's him, and you check it with the Word of God because he'll never tell you anything that goes against the Word, and you see what he's saying, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it and run toward it in 2020, whatever he's saying. Love drives out fear. Well, this fear problem, it's in the world today. Was you afraid of the dark when you was a kid? How many? Afraid of the dark as a kid? Somebody's telling a story. Because there's more of y'all won't raise your hand. How many afraid of the dark now? Still. You're afraid of something, well, afraid of the dark, we'll say. Cannon, he's not afraid of the dark. I found that out already. Back in when I was in elementary school, you picked teams. I don't know if they still do that now or not. They probably can't do that. That wouldn't be the correct thing to do because somebody's going to get picked last. Was you ever fearful they'll pick me last for this team or that team? What do you do with that? You remember asking a girl out maybe for the first time, and you thought, well, what if she says no? Was you ever afraid of that? That's why I had to ask Judy again at that wedding, would you marry me again? She said yes. I just can't get over it. Must surprise me. Fear. It's legitimate, fear is, too. If you're walking in the woods in the path and there's a rattlesnake all curled up, the right thing to be is fearful, afraid. Adrenaline starts rushing through your body, and we call it, fight or flight? You know, that kicks in. So that kind of thing is good. So fear and love. Love overcomes fear. You hear it over and over and over. Life circumstances. We say, thank God for the blessings of 2019. We're going into 2020. Circumstances will be there. What about health issues? They may be there. Fear can come upon people and make them freeze in their tracks. Well, according to the Word, we have nothing to fear if we're a Christian. We have nothing to fear in this life. Now, the next slide says Christmas courage. And I'll give you an example or two today of Christmas courage. It's still, quote, Christmas. We still got the trees up. So Joseph acted in a courageous manner because he loved Mary. And we know the story. We talked about it earlier somewhat about how Joseph acted. He was in a predicament. And we know the story of Mary. We know that she was a virgin. We know that they had not had sexual union, and yet here she is going to have a baby. Joseph says in many ways, forms, as the story goes, this is not my child, and I know that. He knew that it was not his child. He's in a predicament. So it crushes him. It hurts his feelings. It hurts his emotions. He's in a predicament, and he don't know what to do exactly. And the Bible says he has in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't make a show out of it because he loved Mary. So he acted in a courageous way, and he wanted to keep it quiet. And the Bible says he was a righteous man. So he didn't want hoopla. He didn't want drama. He just wanted to take care of the situation. A righteous man, Joseph was. So he wanted to do what was the least traumatic, a quiet way. Now, fear would have protected self. Fear would have said, I'll tell you one thing, this lady right here, she's done whatever. Courage was saying, I'm going to do this quietly. I'm going to love her, and I'll take care of this quietly. You say, well, what about Mary? What about her courageous act? She acted courageously for her love for God. She loved God. Mary did. You got to remember, she was a teenager. You got to remember that all kinds of things in the town and the village was said. You got to remember that it surprised her. And then she gets a little baby bump. And then all the other teenage girls and boys start talking. And they see the baby bump and they start saying all kinds of things. And one smart aleck in the bunch says, "Mary, I believe you've been hitting the fig preserves a little too hard." That's made up, of course. "You've been hitting the preserves there, the fig trees," or whatever they were eating back then. And then Mary just says, this is made up too, "Oh no, I'm not eating too many figs. This is of God. This is of the Holy Spirit. Y'all don't know what you're talking about." And then another smart aleck in the crowd says, "Mary, not only have you been eating too many figs, you've been drinking that grape juice and it's already fermented. This can't be. This isn't true." Is what they were trying to say. "This can't be your story, Mary. This story can't be this way." Now here's the serious part that Luke says. He records it, and here's the actual words when she finds out. Mary finds out, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Predicament, not knowing what to do, a teenager, all kinds of things happening, and she says what? "My soul glorifies the Lord." She was where she needed to be. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." In my spirit, I'm rejoicing in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. My soul glorifies the Lord. That's courage. That's love overcoming fear. How is she going to not take all this social stuff, all the Facebook post of how negative they would have been? And, you know, look what Mary's done. And look at all, you know how that stuff goes in life. And it was going on back then too. She says, this love is overcome this fear. My soul glorifies the Lord. She's happy. She's pleased. "I'm going to glorify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He's been mindful of the humble state of His servant. That's in Luke 1, 46 and 48. That's love overcoming fear. That's Christmas courage in our story, because the social pressure was on. And she said, "You know what? I can withstand it. Because God's giving me strength. Because of the love I have for God and how He loves me." And then we get to the wise men. And they had a love for something. They had a love for truth. And love overcame fear in their life. They were searching. You can talk about the interest in the dreams and the astrology. And we can go on with that, trying to figure all that out for a long, long time. But the bottom line, they went, they listened. They came to Bethlehem, and the Old Testament passage says that kings will come and worship the Messiah. So it was fulfilled. "I'm coming," they said, "to look for the one who's been born King of the Jews." And Herod, you remember that part of the story? He says, "Now you go on and find this baby who's been born King of the Jews, and you let me know where he's at, because I want to worship him too." Now that was a lie. He wanted to kill him. But he said, let me know. Well, they went, they found him, they worshiped him, and then they left another way. Love overcomes fear. Look with me at the next scripture. It's 1 John 4:18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. As God's people, all through 2019 and in going into 2020, we have choices to make. You say, well, I'm His. I've been saved. Praise the Lord for that. We're either going to have to fear people or love God. And you know, we got to make a choice. Our nation has to make a choice. Our political leaders have to make a choice. You and I have to make a choice whether we're going to fear people or love God. Are we going to fear these crazy people that, in my mind, are the liberals of society that go against everything that God's Word says is right? Will we fear them or will we love God? Will we take a stand for truth with humility and with love and stand for the truth of God's Word, or will we fear people? It's always been that way. And we've got to make a choice in this new year as God's people. Oh, Moses, now he could have feared the Egyptian king, but he says, no, I'm going to love. I'm going to love God and His people. Daniel was in a predicament, and he had to make a choice to fear the Babylonians and the kings, or love God, and he chose love for God. Joseph had to make a choice. Mary had to make a choice. You and I had to make a choice in 2020. Mary said, my love for God is going to overcome the fear of all this. Joseph says, my love for Mary is going to overcome the fear and whatever the future may hold. The wise men said, listen, my love for truth is going to overcome the fear of Herod and all of that that goes with it. I'm going to choose to love. All sorts of examples. I'm going to read you a couple of love. Irina Sindler showed a lot of courage in the ruins of the Holocaust. When the Nazis invaded her native Poland and rounded up all the Jews into a walled-in ghetto, she knew what was going to happen. She was a social worker, but also qualified as a nurse, so she could sneak food and medicine into the ghetto. What she snuck out was even more phenomenal. It's established that she helped get approximately 2,500 children out of the ghetto, sedated and placed in the bottom of toolboxes or lying in burlap sacks at the bottom of her truck. And through like-minded people, she moved them to Christian orphanages where they were given new identities. She kept their real names in a jar buried in the backyard. The Nazis eventually caught her. They imprisoned her, tortured her, breaking both of her legs. And when the war ended, she devoted herself to reuniting these children with their families. She loved these children more than she loved her own life. That's a story of courage. Some of you saw this movie recently. And the name Abby Johnson, it might mean something to you. It will by the time I end. All Abby Johnson ever wanted to do was help women. One of the youngest Planned Parenthood clinic directors in the nation. She was involved in upwards of 22,000 abortions and counseled countless women about their reproductive choices. Her passion surrounding a woman's right to choose even led her to become a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood, fighting to enact legislation for the cause she so deeply believed in. Until the day she saw something that changed everything. She stepped in to help a short-staffed doctor at the clinic. For the first time, she saw on the ultrasound screen the baby being aborted, struggling to evade the surgical equipment. She rushed out of the room and burst into tears in the restroom. At that moment, the prayers of her parents and others found fruition. She decided to leave Planned Parenthood. She soon joined her former enemies at 40 Days of Life and has become one of the most pro-life speakers in America. There's a particularly telling scene near the end of the movie. The Planned Parenthood office in Bryan, Texas has closed down. Before leaving the facility to Elements, pro-lifers tied a rose at the fence to honor those children who were never born. She herself laments her own two abortions and says, "I'm sorry I didn't love you enough to protect you." She went on to form a nonprofit organization, and then there were none, which helps abortion workers leave the industry. Love overcomes fear. What are you going to do in 2020? What will we do? What choices will we make when we have to make choices to fear people or love God? We'll all have to make that choice. We've got to make the choice that we're going to love people boldly in 2020. To love them. Some of them may be dirty. Some of them may be nasty. Some of them may be rude. Some may be crude. Some may be wonderful and sweet. But we're at a point in our own country that the world and our own nation has to see the true Christian. Must see that there is love. Must see that Jesus Christ is the answer. Must see that what Jesus said and what is written in the Word of God is true. And we must have our sphere of influence covered that we learned in Sunday school this morning. That we must show, as God's people, the love of Jesus. Our hands may have to get dirty. We may have to be uncomfortable. A lot may have to happen in 2020, but we must let love overcome fear. And I'm fearful of doing this in the church even. I'm fearful of going outside my comfort zone to witness to somebody. I'm fearful of let the love of God overcome that fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. We've got to demonstrate this bold love in 2020. I read that little illustration about the abortion clinic and how it changed this lady's life. I also remember John Lisenby here not too long ago. I think Leslie told me the story that he went over and just stood at an abortion clinic and prayed. You know, I'm not saying everybody's going to go to the abortion clinic and stand there and pray or counsel women. But, you know, when I read that story, I thought, well, John Lisenby did something over there. That might not be everybody, but how will I demonstrate God's love boldly in 2020? How will you affect Ethan and Luke? What's your name? Lauren, I'm sorry. Par. And here I'm going to get mixed up if I keep going. Y'all looking at the bald-headed preacher who is not crazy. It's okay. If I text you on my phone, would you text me back? If I put something on Facebook or Messenger, you'd message me back. Talk to me. It still works. What are you going to do? Is it Southeast? How are you going to show Jesus' love boldly at that school in 2020? Don't answer me. You Clarkdale folks right here? Where you go to school? Clarkdale? Clarkdale, 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 Clarkdale. Oh, you don't go to school anymore, do you? Clarkdale. How about this one right here, this little lady? Okay. All these, how are you going to do it? Well, our youth group's growing right now, and we're pretty good, and we're on fire for Jesus. That sounds real good. But when all hell breaks loose in your life and somebody's up in your face and real life's taking place, how will you show the bold love of Almighty God? When you have to make decisions in relationships at a young age, how are you going to do it? How about it, Mama? How are you going to do it? You going to tell Janae the truth instead of what she wants to hear? You going to tell your son the truth instead of what he wants to hear? You say, look at the influence over here. It's young and these choices. I don't know if Mr. Shorty, I don't see him today. He tops you by a year or two. Get both ends of the stick. All you middle-aged folks, all the things we do in life, how am I going to demonstrate God's love boldly in 2020? We must do it for the kingdom of God. We must do it for the cause that we say we belong to, that we are Christ's followers, and therefore I'm following what Christ said. He's not following what I say. We're not Ron Leonard followers. We're not, God, you do what I tell you to do. No, it is we are Christ followers, and we're to do what He says for us to do. And to show His love. Love overcomes fear. Well, Jesus said, I'll tell you what, here's the story of Mary and Joseph, and here I am, and I've come, I've been born, I grow up, and I do miracles, and guess what? I humble myself even to death on the cross. That was my purpose. I took care of that. I went to the cross. Yes, I sin here as a baby in human form to see true love, to demonstrate it for you, to tell you how to do it. And now I want you to choose love. Now I want you, disciples, to choose love. Now I want you, in 2020, disciples, to choose to show my love boldly. And now we got to make the choice to do that and to be intentional about it. You know, I said to Judy, I heard an old song this morning as I drove up here. It's such a long drive and the city traffic. It's like, you know, how many have heard of the Blackwood Brothers? And all the older hands went up. Maybe not all old, but I was on up in, you know, years. But it was just happened to be on that station. And it was all this harmony. And yes, it's old fashioned, but it was absolutely beautiful to my ears. I sat in the truck when I pulled up, they wasn't finished. I just sat there and listened to it. It didn't take 2 or 3 minutes, but it blessed my soul. And they were singing, yes, in the old style many years ago, I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Isn't that something? I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Now, you wouldn't like the tune, maybe, if you're a young person. You wouldn't like the way they were singing it, maybe, at whatever age. I did. I enjoyed it. It blessed me. But the wording of it, and I'm getting ready to go, so just calm down. Don't worry. I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Jesus is mine. Does that not do anything? That kind of puts a little spark in me. That kind of helps me to think about it. No matter what 2020 brings, I've been redeemed by what? Love divine. Glory, glory. Jesus is mine. All to Him I now resign. I've been redeemed. That's who we are if we've been saved. Living for the Lord, we're the redeemed people of God. And in 2020, God's saying, listen, disciples, church, it's time. The world desperately needs to see who I really am. They don't need to see the church building. They don't need to worry about the color of the carpet and whether we got pews or nice folding chairs, whether we use a screen or we don't, whether we sing hymns or contemporary. The world needs to see me. And that's Jesus speaking. And we must let the world see Jesus through us. They don't need to see Ron Leonard. They don't need to be seeing you, really, and I say that with love. But we must let them see Jesus, the one that can change a heart. I can't change your heart. You can't change my heart. But I'll tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit, God Himself and Jesus Christ the Son, changed me. And it's changed you. And we must show His love in 2020. Well, if you'll be so kind to stand with me. Our Father in heaven, how we love You. And how You've loved us. And we can sing the praises this morning. And we can sing about You being our Savior and our Healer. And You are. We can sing and raise our hands and worship and praise. All that's good. But God, we're starting a new year. We think of quote resolutions or how to be better. And Father, the church has been asleep for a good while in our land we call America. Study after study says the church is declining in America. You're not declining. Your love has never been stronger than it is right now. So it is us. It is society and the things that some are being brainwashed with. It is our own choices that need to change. It's not you. So, Father, for every person under the sound of my voice this morning, I'm very thankful for. But, God, You have a plan for all of us. And this world desperately needs to see the love of God, the truth of God's Word, and Jesus Christ as Savior. And some may say, well, I'm in my 90s now and don't get out much. But they still have a sphere of influence. Some 10-year-old may be saying, well, I'm not too old or I'm not old enough to do this or that. Yes, you are. Live the life. Teenagers, middle-aged people, parents raising children. We are Your people. And for that grace divine, we're thankful. Glory, glory, Jesus is mine. Thank You for what You've done for us. Now, God, help us to choose love in 2020. Help us to demonstrate Your love boldly and make the right choices to love You and not fear people. Father, whatever the need may be in hearts today, I pray that they won't leave things undone. If somebody needs to be saved and ask Jesus into their heart and ask for forgiveness of sin, I pray it'll happen today. But if burdens of this old world are high upon our shoulders today, I pray people will come and gather around this altar and say, here we are. Thank You for the blessings, but Lord, here's my need. So we have a wonderful opportunity before God to come and praise Him, come and receive from Him. So God, we just thank You for Your love and ask You to work among us just now. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.